I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the AfterBuzz TV AEW Dynamite After Show, and we are coming to you live from all across the globe, and have we got a show for you. We're going to talk all about tonight. We're going to talk all about Double or Nothing, and we even got the Elite of the Week. But before I get started, let me introduce to you the amazing panel I get to work with tonight. First and foremost, she is the indie darling herself. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Anissa Barr.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm an 8 out of 10. And with us as well is, he is typically a producer, but today he gets to join us as a panelist. He is the muscle of the AEW Dynamite show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Josh Alonso.
How's it going, guys? How's it going? Another exciting week, and can't wait for this pay-per-view this weekend.
He is the host of the WWE pay-per-view shows, as well as a host on After 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. When he's not in the ring devastating people, he's on AfterBuzz TV. Let's hear it for George Hermosa.
Yeah, that is actually the only two things I do with my life. It's either wrestling in the ring or AfterBuzz. How'd you know?
It's true, because I follow you. Wow. And also, we have in the producer chair today, it's Ry Guy in the booth. Ryan, how you doing, buddy? I'll take that as a yes. And I am your benevolent host.
I'm great.
Fancy Jack Farmer.
Even that dog is.
They call him the Barker Farmer. He is Jack Farmer.
It's the big dog Roman Reigns hanging out on the show. Guys, we got a crazy show tonight. We got stuff to talk about. We got predictions. But before all that, give me your overall thoughts. George, you're the guest. You get to take it away first. What did you think of the show?
I mean, it's a good show. I don't think there's anything. I don't take into consideration all the quarantine stuff. It's a wrestling show. Like, I love wrestling. It's, you know, I do take that into consideration as far as, like, I'm not going to hold it to a lower standard or higher standard at all. But for these quarantine shows, I mean, I think AEW is always consistently good. And I think tonight was no different.
All right, what about you, Josh?
I thought it was a good send-off show. Definitely some good matches hyping up the storylines and everything to what's coming up on Saturday. So it's a good progression to everything that's going to go on. So overall, it's a really great show.
Yes, two really great shows so far. Anissa, are they going to go for the turkey?
I don't know what that means, but yeah, I think that the show was really great.
What?
Hey, I'm younger than all of you guys. I don't know.
I knew what a turkey was when I was like 16.
A turkey is the greatest achievement you can achieve in all of sports. There's nothing greater. I think even Cody Rhodes would say that a turkey is more important than being the AEW champion.
Vegetarian, so I ain't eating any turkey.
It's a good thing it's a bowling reference, so.
Yeah.
I thought the show was great, with a turkey or without a turkey.
So I thought it was a fun time, too. Lots of good stuff. I noticed that the crowd, you mentioned the coronavirus. I noticed the crowd had masks on. Today, it makes me think that maybe AEW has heard people saying that they feel like there's some risk with the crowd being so close together. Smartly branding their masks, which I'm sure you can get for 20% off at shopaew.com during their Double or Nothing sale. That's right, folks. I'm a sellout. I'll sell anything. Speaking of selling things, we had a main event tonight. We had Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy or Demoskis. I don't know. I can't tell them apart. They look the same, if you ask me. Let's go ahead and start with Josh. What did you think of these two? Did you feel like this was a good main event for their go-home show?
Do I think it's a good main event match? Not necessarily. Do I think it's a great match? Yeah, you could say that. I feel like as far as just like, you know, rearranging some of the matches and everything, I felt like the tag team match between Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander versus Nia Rose and Britt Baker would have been a perfect main event. But that's just my opinion. Overall, the match was great, and the blow off at the end with having both teams battle out within the football stadium was great too. So, good match overall. Think of it as main event? Not really.
Anissa, do you agree? I kind of parked my car in the same garage as Josh there. I like this match. It actually felt like a mid-card pay-per-view match, like, because they've been kind of teasing it a little bit. Did you like seeing them have their match today, or did you think they should have saved it?
No, I mean, the match was fine. It really fit into what happened, obviously, at the end of the show. So I think obviously that's the reason why they made it as a main event. But if it was any other episode of AEW, I think this match would have been the first match of the show.
George, how do you feel about Matt Hardy and the broken Matt Hardy character and Damascus? And I don't know if it's Damascus or Damascus. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But broken Matt Hardy, are you a fan of broken Matt Hardy?
100% absolutely. I think broken Matt Hardy and the Matt Hardy whole universe thing has been the absolute best thing to ever happen at Impact Wrestling. If broken Matt Hardy did not exist in Impact Wrestling, they would be out of business. But just to contradict what you guys were saying, you guys are absolutely crazy, because what's the biggest criticism that AEW has one of the, these days, that every single one of their big money main events are all former WWE guys. So I'm a big fan of putting in somebody that is new to a lot of people's eyes, that has not been in that WWE bubble. Put them into the main event of an AEW, because that's how you get these guys over. You put these guys over. So yes, maybe Sammy Guevara isn't a main event level, but how is he going to get to that main event level if you don't put him in a main event?
That's a really good point. And to throw it back over to Josh, how about, do you feel, I think George made a lot of good points there. Do you think, though, that having Sammy Guevara in these matches builds him up, or do you think him coming out on the losing end hurts him long term?
I think long term it wouldn't hurt him as much. He's still a young star, and he's still growing as a talent as well. But putting him against a notable name like Matt Hardy can raise the stock. I mean, we've talked about this several times over the weeks, where we have a familiar name versus a name that we might have not heard of, or not at least the mainstream audience have not heard of, because they're from the independent scene. But I think sticking someone like Matt Hardy with Sammy Guevara would be great, just to raise the stock in a little bit. But I just, you know, disagreeing with George, it's just one of those things where it didn't feel like a main event match. We know why they put it in the end, as what Anissa said, but overall the match just didn't feel like a main event. Like, agreeing with what you guys said, this in any other week, this would have been the first match, but because of the instances of the pay-per-view, it's got to be the main event.
And speaking of that pay-per-view, as we've alluded to before, they made their way on over to the stadium where the Jaguars play, and they had a little bit of a teaser of the stadium showdown, stadium stampede match, where they brawled it out a little bit. Kenny Omega with the perfectly ripped shirt getting baseball batted before the Young Bucks made their return. Anissa Barr, I know you're a big Young Bucks fan. Did you pop when they showed up?
Kind of. I was like, oh, that's cool. But like, I more was excited, and the fact that they told us there was going to be a ring in the middle of the football field. They didn't really say that before, but now they're saying that. I'm like, oh, okay, now this is going to be a little bit more interesting. But I mean, seeing Hangman Page gives me a little relief, because now I know that he's not going to be the surprise entrance of the Casino Battle Royal, because if he was, I'd be heck really annoyed.
Now, that surprises me, though, because there's a few things I know about Anissa Barr. One, she likes death matches. She likes barbed wire. She likes things getting out of control. So for you to sit here and tell me, I'm excited they're going to be in a ring, that feels out of character, Anissa. Is that...
Well, it's something that I've never seen before, a ring inside a football field, like live, actually. I'm sure, of course, it's happened before at, you know, obviously it's happened before, but with no crowd. That's going to be interesting to me.
Very good.
I loved watching Hangman sprint down the field. That was one of my favorite parts of the night. Just the
Wait,
little thing.
Did he actually go the full 100 yards? Because
I don't know.
Because the tricky thing, the good thing was about this was they had something going on, I guess, in the front view of the camera where you couldn't notice what was going on in the backfield of it. So who knows if he could have been standing there the whole time, or if he really ran that 100 yards. I am super impressed if he did.
Yeah.
And cowboy without,
and cowboy boots.
I would totally be like if I did that, you'd see me just like sweating, like. George, now we got the Elite versus the Inner Circle. Now I haven't had the chance to talk to you about AEW in a long time. Are you a fan of either of these teams? Both of these teams? Where do you stand on the Inner Circle versus the Elite?
I'm a big fan of the Inner Circle because this is probably, and we say it every 2 years, every 3 years, this is probably the best Chris Jericho we've seen ever. You know, it's a reinvention. It's new. So, and especially hearing him on his podcasts, like he's all about putting the young guys over. With the exception of Swagger, it's a lot of these, you know, Guevara and LAX, like these are guys that benefit from being put together with Jericho. And then you have, you know, the Elite. Young Bucks are always great. I'm still not really sold on Adam Page, but I know what they're trying to do with that storyline and him and Omega and whatnot. But and Omega, I think, is finally becoming the Kenny Omega that we know that can go. So, yeah, I mean, either way, I think this is a perfect clash of just two different groups with two different ideologies. I'm really excited for this stadium stampede.
George, you're two steps forward, one step back. How dare you say anything negative about Hangman Adam Page? He's one of my favorites. But I like where they're going with him. Is he a part of the team? Is he not a part of the team? I think as far as like the rules of this match go, I don't really know exactly. It sounds like it's just falls count anywhere, 5-on-5 tag team match in a whole stadium, which I think should be exciting. Now, it's this weekend, Double or Nothing. Everyone, if you want to buy it, you can go pre-order today. Let's just dive into a prediction on this one. We've got the Elite. We've got the Inner Circle. Who's coming out on top? We're going to start with you, Josh. Who's winning this match?
Oh, I think the Elite are going to have to take this one just to, you know, get over one on the evil Inner Circle, as they say. So I think my pick's going to be the Elite.
How about you, Anissa? Do you agree?
Yeah, I do, because we've seen the Inner Circle pretty much dominate AEW for a very long time, and I think now is the time for the Elite to win.
George Hermosa, we got two for the Elite. Are we going for three?
Absolutely not. It's got to be the Inner Circle. This is the only group that have been together every single week. Where has Hangman Page been? Where has Nick Jackson been? There's no cohesive unit with anymore. You got this, you know, who knows what's going on with the Hangman Page, and you know, like I said, like I mentioned before, and don't forget, they're the tag team champions, but we don't know if they're even on the same page. Inner Circle are consistent every single week. They got their own shirts. They got their own, you know, track suits. They got their own little marching thing that they're going. It's got to be the Inner Circle because they're the closest thing that we have to a cohesive unit in AEW.
I am with you on that one, George. I think the Inner Circle has to win because without having a title in their camp, they need something to give them a win. And I got a sneaky feeling that Double or Nothing is going to be the moment that Hangman Adam Page finally decides he's better off on his own, and he takes it to the Elite and he leaves him in the dust and he becomes a better man for it. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm with George on this one. I think we're split. We're split down the middle. Rye Guy, flip a coin. Are you going Inner Circle or are you going Elite? You got to break the tie, buddy.
Sorry, Elite. I'm going Elite.
That's the last time I ask for your opinion. But
darn.
But while I have you on the line, Ryan, if you could do me a big favor. You see, every time we have a show, we like to let everyone know where they can find us and other shows like us. Can you let everyone know, Ryan?
Yes, absolutely, Jack. Thank you guys so much for tuning into AfterBuzz TV. This is the ESPN of TV Talk. Please hit that thumbs up button, give us a like on YouTube, comment below your thoughts on AEW, and check out all of our other after shows on AfterBuzzTV.com. We have over 500 after shows, tons of different channels. Also got our sister networks, Popcorn Talk and Black Hollywood Live. As back to this show, you can go on iTunes, support us there, leave us an iTunes review. We will shout you out on air. It'll be like we're cutting a promo for the promo you gave us there. And lastly, thanks for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Ding.
Ding. Thank Thank you, Ryan. That's one of your true talents there. Not picking Elite versus Inner Circle, but definitely telling people where they can find us. And shout out to everyone in the chat. I'm going to be honest with you guys. The internet's a little tricky. I can't see who's in the chat, but I know you're there. I appreciate you. Always good to have you guys here. I'm going to check it afterwards. So very appreciated. Someone who wasn't very appreciated today was one Brody Lee. He's holding the title. I don't know why no one can give him the respect he deserves. I thought it was funny. They teased this, or they had this match. It's going to be 10 versus John Moxley, and they have the little picture up. And you notice in the picture, 10 has the hand marks on his chest still, because I think they took the picture right after a match to like put all that together. I thought that was a fun little deal. But we all knew John Moxley was going to win. But just to make sure we cover our bases, Anissa, he's your boy. How did you think John Moxley held up against 10 tonight?
I think he did totally fine. I think it's a little sad that 10 had to have his arm broken, but I mean, that's, you know, his fault for being part of a cult, because that's what it is. The Dark Circle is a cult, and that's what you're a part of, Mr. Jack Farmer. And you know, I think it's a little, I think Brody Lee's been a little wuss by leaving. You would think he would just stand there and just watch John, you know, beat up his guy, but he had to walk away because he's scared of him.
You see what Anissa did there? She already predicted the future. She kind of like the corporation and the Ministry of Darkness combined become the corporate ministry. She said the Dark Circle. So imagine the Dark Order and the Inner Circle meshing as one. Oh my God.
And Tony Khan says it was me.
You said Dark Circle.
Did I?
It was me all along.
That's what's gonna happen. The Dark
Order. It was me, Cody.
Is gonna be together.
Yeah, speaking of it was me, George, they've been saying Brody Lee is a bit of a knockoff of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Do you still see that? I think there was some similarities at first, but do you still see Vincent Kennedy McMahon when you see Brody Lee?
100%. There is no doubt about it. And I think it's both good and bad. And I mean, it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong, but I do think they should kind of steer away from that, just because I don't want them to always be a WWE knockoff or look what we're trying to parody. They should try to have their own identity, their own, you know, characters, whatnot. So it's entertaining. I think it's good for like Twitter, but when you have it on TV every week, I think it's a little too much.
Yeah, I'd like to see him sort of segue out of it. I think it was fine to start it, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see him kind of become his own guy. Something that Brody Lee said, Josh, that I thought was really interesting is he talked about how he compared the old Dark Order to the new Dark Order. Are Evil Uno and Stu Grayson out of a job, or are they going to come back at some point?
You know, it's funny. I was definitely actually thinking about that earlier. I was watching this other video about the history of the Dark Order, and the funny thing was, when we first saw them initially, they were kind of just like a goofy troop, just like two guys mm-hmm. and just masks and everything, and just a bunch of just minions following them. But then now the whole turnaround of this is actually really interesting, and I do love it. Unfortunately, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson are kind of out of the picture at this point, but I feel like if they were to incorporate them a little bit more, I think that would be beneficial for them, especially Evil Uno, because he is the main face of the stable. But ever since Brody Lee kind of came in, it's kind of stolen some of that thunder a little bit. But it'd be a shame if they're out of the group completely. But I do feel like further down the line, some storyline, they're going to be out of the group, and they might have like two warring, like inner. Oh my goodness! Now I want to call them Inner Circle now, Dark Order type of factions. Yeah. You know, going back and forth.
Ooh, we can have Dark Order Wolfpack.
Yeah, Dark Order
exactly. Hollywood.
Love it.
Dark Order Hollywood, Dark Order Wolfpack. Now, you made fun of him, Anissa, but I thought it was kind of cool how John Moxley was like, I'm going to break Ten's arm. And Brody Lee was like, we all got to make sacrifices, and walked off. That, you don't think that was a baller move for him to just leave him to get his arm broken?
I thought that was more of a mafia move, you know? That reminded me of like the cartel or the mafia, like the head leader would do that and be like, you gotta do, but I'm still gonna,
Yeah, I've been watching too much Ozark recently, so I totally see what you're saying. Now we're getting a match between Brody Lee and John Moxley at Double or Nothing. And some people complain that it's too quick for Brody Lee to be getting a world title shot when he just got his foot in the door. George Hermosa, is that? I think it's okay. I'm happy with Brody Lee getting a shot. Do you agree with him going up the rankings when he hasn't really beaten any real talent yet?
I completely am not a fan of it, especially when they emphasize how important these rankings are, how important having a win-loss record is. Like, what's the point of having that if you're not going to incorporate the win-loss records and the rankings into who's going to get the championship? I want to see, like, more – you can use that to build storylines like, oh, hey, I'm the number three ranked person. Now I'm going to do something mischievous to – face the champion who's, you know, and I'm going to probably try to take out number one, number two. I thought that's how they were going to use the storyline or the rankings, not just, hey, he's fresh from WWE. Let's give him a title shot. Like, I don't know. So I'm not a big fan of him just kind of coming in for that. I'm a fan of it if there was no win-loss record. But mm-hmm. because they have that and they emphasize, oh my God, we're going to have a win-loss record because that matters in pro wrestling. So use it. If you're not going to use it, then don't have it.
So let me ask you this. If he doesn't get the shot, who should John Moxley face at Double or Nothing?
Kenny Omega. I think they have some unfinished business coming from, what was it, Full Gear? You know, we saw that in that brutal match that everybody was talking about. Why not have it with maybe some higher stakes for the AEW World Championship?
Because he's in the Stadium Stampede match. He's off the table.
Well, I mean, well, I mean, you would book it differently from the beginning and maybe have a mystery partner come in. Yeah, because you'd have like, wait, is it 5-on-5 or 4-on-4? No, it's 5-on-5.
5-on-5.
Matt Hardy is a
five-star review on five-star review for the AEW Dynamite After Show podcast. So let's jump into these predictions. Who walks out with the title? Josh Alonso. Who's winning?
Ooh, I mean, like you had mentioned, I was one of those people that did not agree with this booking because of Brody Lee coming in just out of nowhere. But I mean, if you're going to put him in the title picture, might as well just give him the title now, because if you really want to play up on that egotistical, like super maniacal cult leader, why not put the main title on him? And I think that would really like increase that level of just intensity that he has. So I'm picking Brody Lee.
Brody Lee. Now, Anissa Barr, I think I know what your answer is. If it is who I think it is, can Brody Lee bounce back from a loss already?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I don't think it really hurts him. I mean, of course, he hasn't really wrestled much, but I think if he loses the title, then he has obviously more options to go after other titles or championships, whatever you want to call them these days.
Yeah. So, and then now, George, you said you're none too happy about the Exalted One getting in this title scene already. Do you think he'll win, or do you think this is just a speed bump on the way to the next match for John Moxley?
I think he should win because I think they built it for so long. It's like, and you remember this back in '96 when Hollywood Hogan was a third man. The next month, he went on to become WCW World Champion. I feel like you're gonna invest so much in Brody Lee and the Dark Order. I think he kind of has to become the champion, and I think it's gonna be more punishment for Jon Moxley for crashing in on a WWE show on backstage about a month ago. I'm kidding, obviously.
I think John Moxley is going to win this one here. I think that it's still too early. This is his first real test, and I think it's too quick for him to drop the title. And like we had all mentioned, I kind of get the feeling that there's going to be a war with the Dark Order, and I think that's where Brody Lee is going to be turning his attention to after this, as opposed to defending the title right off the bat. But we'll see. Anything can happen. Speaking of anything can happen, we almost got that when Jake the Snake Roberts sat exactly 6 feet table length away from Arn Anderson. And it shocked me. I didn't realize these two have never had a match. I mean, I obviously can't remember them having a match, but it just seems weird. George, you're a wrestling historian. Is it weird that they've never had a match?
I was thinking that the very second they were stood across from each other. I'm like, I know it never happened on WWE pay-per-view. I don't even think they were on opposite sides on like a Survivor Series team. And by the time that they were in WCW together, like I think Jake was doing his own thing. But yeah, like it, unless it was some random house show, but if they say they've never been in the ring together, I believe them. And if so, like, man, like imagine the match it could have been like in the late 80s and like the promos that it could have been. Yeah, today was good as far as promos go, but imagine if they're both in their prime, you know, pretty much jockeying for top position. Man, like that could have been amazing. It's one of those where I never realized this was that much of a dream match until tonight.
Yeah, something that Arn Anderson said that is absolutely true is that they both have credibility. And when they talked, everything they did made it sound like they were more credible. Jessica O'Connor is typically our fashion person, but speaking of credibility, Jake the Snake, socks matching the shirt. Good on him. Looking good. Now, they teased – well, they didn't tease. We know Mike Tyson's going to be a part of this this match, but they said that some he might get involved somehow. He has free reign. I don't know what that means. He's obviously had an impact in wrestling before. Josh Alonso, you know a little bit about beating people up. What do you think Mike Tyson's bringing to the match that they're hyping up with this promo?
I think he might serve as a special enforcer, sort of similar to what he did with Michaels and Austin back in WrestleMania. Possibly could do that or just – you know, just be just a guy just around the ringside and just presenting a belt. Who knows? Free range. We don't know. But, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. But I'm definitely going to mark out to see Mike Tyson because Mike Tyson's one of my favorite fighters of all time. But it'd be really great for you to see him just at least – who would I like to see him knock out? I would like to see him knock out – you know what? I'd like to see him knock out Cody. I think that would be really interesting right there.
I think that'd be so cool because he it'd be kind of the reverse of what he did back at WrestleMania because he acted like he was one of the bad guys and then turned out to be a good guy as opposed to it'd be cool to see him act like a good guy and then punch out the good guy at the end here. One of the things Jake the Snake said I thought was so good. People have dreams and people have nightmares, but Lance Archer is real. I thought that was a cool play on American Dream, American Nightmare, Lance Archer. Good structuring of things you say. Anissa Barr, they're going to have a TNT title. I don't know where this is going to rank. I think a lot of us call it like the mid-card title. I know they said in an interview that in the rankings, it's going to be people are going to be ranked 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then TNT title, AEW title. Without a clear delineation, can you have two titles that don't really separate themselves, like a world title and a U.S. title would per se?
I mean, let's talk about WWE real quick. They had a world title for like SmackDown for years, and then they had the WWE title on Raw for years. So that's what I'm looking at on what the TNT title is going to be. It's going to be like I don't want to call it the world title because the world title really means a lot, you know, than what, you know, I don't want to compare the two, but I feel like that is what it is.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. I think it'd be kind of fun if they had it like two world titles and you didn't know which one was going to be the most prestigious. It would all be built on just how interested people are in each title. But then I think that could muddy things up. Who knows? This one is a good promo. I think this is going to be one of the secret show stealers of the night. Let's get right into the predictions. We'll start with Anissa. Who wins this match? Does Cody Rhodes finally get a singles title in AEW, or does the Murder Hawk Monster become the TNT champion?
I think the Murder Hawk Monster will be the TNT championship because I feel that I'm looking at it as a business side and helping, you know, non-known stars. So I'm thinking more on that side right now. So I think that he'll win it.
And George Hermosa, is this Cody's – people have said this is Cody trying to find a way to get himself a title. Is that what this is, or is Lance Archer going to be the first ever TNT champion?
I wouldn't say it's Cody putting himself – or trying to get himself a title, but I do think he should win and will win this upcoming Saturday. I feel like but Anissa said, on the contrary, I feel like from a business standpoint, I think Cody can do a lot more and help put over some more guys. Cause to me, to you, to Anissa, we know who Lance Archer is. We know his history and TNA and WWE and New Japan, but a lot of people don't. And that's the only reason why I never had Adam Page winning the inaugural AEW World Championship title. But that's why I think somebody like Cody can win it And then he can help put over guys like Sammy Guevara or Kip Sabian, you know, some guys that people aren't familiar with him as champion. So I think Cody should win it because I think it's best for business.
And Josh Alonso, do you agree? Or who do you agree with? This is, you're the tie splitter.
Ooh, I got to go. I got to go with the party at the Murder Hawk Mansion, right? I think Archer's going to win it.
Yeah. I've learned never bet against very large people who call themselves the Murder Hawk Monster. But you know what? George and I have been right in line today, because I would love to see Cody with the title and him having to prove that he deserves it. You know, I could see everyone being like, you're only here because you're Tony Khan's boy, and him kind of, I'd like to see him almost do like the John Cena open challenge thing with the US title. I was like, no, I'm going to prove I'm the champion and do something like that. I think that could be really, really fun. Something else was pretty fun. We saw Pac had a little promo, and it was kind of weird seeing him not in his tights, which made me feel a little awkward. I don't really know where he was going with this promo. It seemed like he was just kind of like, yeah, Death Triangle's still a thing, you guys.
I think that's what he's trying to refresh everybody. Like you said, don't forget us. Because when Felix showed up last week, I was like, oh, okay. And then when Pac showed up, I'm like, oh, it clicked. I totally forgot about these guys.
Yeah. Did you buy this promo, George Hermosa?
I did. He's very convincing as far as being the bastard Pac. But yeah, 100%. I think he's one of those guys that has taken it to another level since joining AEW. He hasn't changed too much of his character since his days of WWE, but I think it's just on another level as far as knowing that he's not really limited to being in a cruiserweight division. Now he can pretty much take those handcuffs off and have the freedom to do whatever he wants. So, and I applaud Pac, and I think he's somebody who I think is going to be a big star.
Do you say Pac or Pac?
I say Neville.
Neville, hot take. So, yeah, I like hearing him talk and not in the ground, like, I'm a wrestler voice, but being more of like, hey, I mean, he still had a little bit of that, but I liked him talking normal. And like I said, not being the guy in the tights that's just walking around being a wrestler, but seeing him in the scarf and stuff, I thought it was cool. Josh, I want to ask you about a different promo we saw today real quick. We saw Darby Allin, and he does the thing where it's all black and white, and he hangs out with dudes who have pictures of other dudes on their faces. It's all very artsy, and it seems cool, but I don't know. Am I crazy? I feel like this is starting to get repetitive. Does he need to mix this up, or is this cool, and I'm just an old guy that doesn't get it?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call that a problem. I think that was more like a David Lynch film. It was just super confusing, him in a ladder and just him setting himself on fire. Aesthetically cool looking, but then I see what you're saying. He needs to have a voice. And I know you and I have had a discussion about this a couple weeks ago about him having at least a mouthpiece. Yeah, he really needs someone for him to talk, because if he's going to be that brooding character and not say anything, he needs to leave to have a mouthpiece say something about what he's going to do. Like, sort of similar to, geez, I don't know who would be a good example in this point. Now I'm trying to go through my mind of who would be a good example, but I think this kind of goes back to teasing with partnership with him and Taz. I think wouldn't fit, but then maybe it could be some type of red herring and it might just attract him back. I don't know. Now kind of thinking about it, I think Taz would be really great with Darby Allin, but who knows?
How about, I'm spacing out her name, and I know you guys know, what's his wife's name again? She's the wrestler as well.
Priscilla Kelly.
Priscilla Kelly, that's it. Yeah, I think she might be a fun person to have palling around with him, you know, on his way to the ring and doing some chatting for him. So two people who didn't have time to chat because they got down to business right away. And what I thought was the match of the night, Phoenix versus Orange Cassidy. These two were so smooth together. When Orange Cassidy's with the right person, he has some fun matches. Phoenix always has fun matches. This had a lot of close falls. I didn't know who was going to win this one. Of course, there was some shenanigans at the end here. George, I'd like to ask you the opinion questions here, because you're the special guest. Are you an Orange Cassidy fan?
100%. I love Orange Cassidy. I think he is one of the best things in AEW every single week. He's one of those guys where, and I say this all the time, even on WWE, where, you know, Zelina Vega and a few others like Asuka, where I think somebody like Orange Cassidy, any second that he's on TV, he's going to maximize his potential because there is no second wasted when he is on TV. And every single week, he does something amazing. He does something memorable. His match today with Phoenix was phenomenal. I'm a huge Orange Cassidy fan.
So let's take that right into our predictions. This was building up to the casino ladder match. That's why we saw Kip Sabian looking like a lifeguard on top of the ladder for a little bit.
His t-shirt dumping him over.
Let's go right into predictions. The winner of this gets a shot at the title. They didn't actually. It just says the title. I think or did it say the AEW title?
I'm almost sure it's going to be the AEW title, just because they announced next week there's going to be a battle royal, and the winner of that's going to face face the TNT champion. So I figure it's going to be the AEW world champion.
They didn't say it. Everyone's saying this is copying TLC or
Money in the Bank.
TLC, Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank. If it is, I don't care. But they never said if it's actually cash in whenever you want. It's just the next person to get the title. Anissa, we'll start with you. Who is winning this match? We got Kaz. We got Scorpio. We got Darby. We got OC. We got just about every one of your favorite wrestlers except for Moxley in there. So you got a tough time picking. Who do you think is going to walk away with a number one contendership?
As of right now, till the second, I don't know, because we have a mystery person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know who that person is. So if I say one person today, I might change my mind Saturday when that surprise entrance guy comes in. So as of right now, I will let you know next Saturday.
Would you bet that the mystery person is going to win, or the field, meaning anyone else?
Anyone else.
Like, mystery person is always like usually the person that's going to win, but you get more options with anyone else.
So I'm going to say this. I think, because I really like this person a lot, is going to be Darby Allin. I feel like a connection with Darby Allin, not in a weird way, but more of like as just emo kids, you know, just typical, mm-hmm. us, you know, that type of way. So I think Darby Allin would win it because I think it's his time. I think he needs that opportunity for a title.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on the connection level there. George, who do you think's winning this ladder match?
Because I'm looking over the guy. I think if it wasn't for Darby Allin getting that initial title shot on AEW, I'd probably had him winning just because he's on TV every week. But I'm gonna go with Luchasaurus. I think he's the guy that looks the part. People love him. People get behind him. I think it's time for him to kind of break through. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of the Luchasaurus gimmick. But when you see his face without the mask, not that he's an ugly guy, but like,
no,
like, I don't know.
Attractive.
but I'm saying, like, sometimes, like, I feel like the mask helps him in that way. But I do kind of feel like maybe his gimmick needs to be changed a little bit. Like, you wouldn't want to see the AEW world champion Luchasaurus. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I do think, like, if that were to happen down the road, I feel like maybe people would probably laugh at that. Maybe when us wrestling fans know that, it's not a laughing matter, but either way, I think it's his time. I think he's ready. I think he's very talented. I think he's got the best chance at winning this Double or Nothing ladder match.
Yeah, and something to remember too is it's the shot of the title. It doesn't mean he's going to win the title. So
yeah,
exactly. I think a Luchasaurus versus Moxley or Brody Lee could be print money. Josh, how do you feel?
You know what? I think I might go with Scorpio Sky. I know he had a really great match against Chris Jericho for the title a couple months back, and I think whoever wins the title match would have a great match with him, either being Moxley or Brody Lee. I think Scorpio Sky would have a great match with any of those two. So I'm going to take my vote for Scorpio Sky.
My gut tells me mystery person's going to win just because it feels like it's going to be someone and they're going to come in with a bunch of fanfare, but that feels like a cop-out. So my second pick is actually Scorpio Sky as well. I predicted it before. I predicted again. He had a stare down with Brody Lee earlier. I think I really think Scorpio Sky is getting built up for a title run. We're running low on time, so we're going to march right on into the women's tag team match. Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida versus Britt Baker and Nyla Rose. I don't know. Britt Baker looked like she really hurt her leg in this one. I don't know if that was a legit thing or not.
Yeah, but, I had to take a replay at that. When I saw that, I missed it initially, and I'm just like, what was it exactly? Then I replayed it, and it looked pretty bad. I mean, the way they did the, I guess you could call it a Death Valley Driver or a Burning Hammer, whatever you want to call it, onto her knee. And that is a lot of weight going onto the knee. And it kind of looked like the knee shifted to the outside. So I'm assuming if it's something major, hopefully it's not, something major could possibly be, I want to say MCL or PCL on the outside of the knee. And hopefully she's okay. But yeah, I winced at that when I checked out the replay because it was just excruciating. That, because I have a bad knee myself, so... Very relatable.
George, was it weird that Nyla beat the person she's going to be facing at the pay-per-view and not pinning Statlander instead?
A little bit, because I mean, I know we're also accustomed to the challenger beating the champion on the final show before the pay-per-view, but maybe that's just a sign of maybe Statlander, even though I'm not really, Sheeta, or maybe Sheeta going over. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, but I agree with you. I'm like, oh, they had the champ go over, and she's a heel champ. I mean, hopefully Sheeta wins. I'm not really a big fan of the champion right now.
Yeah, so let's dive right into it then. Anissa, we've got the, for the women's title, no DQ, Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Sheeta. Who's winning that one?
Sheeta. I think she'll win. I think, like I mentioned all the time, I think Austin Kong is going to make her return Saturday and show up and face Nyla Rose.
Interesting. Like, how about you, George? You agree?
I think Sheeta will win. I think she should win. I think it all should lead up to having Britt Baker as champion, who I think is the absolute face of the AEW women's division. So anything that we can do to get the championship on her, I mean, of course, hopefully she's you know, healthy, nothing wrong with her knee. But I think the fact that Britt Baker isn't champion already, I think it's such a shame.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Josh, what do you think?
I kind of want to see Nyla Rose keep dominating. I think that would be really great. And then hopefully, like Anissa said, if we could see Awesom Kong make a return, that would be a great matchup right there. Just two, I guess we could call that the Lady Beef slap of the moment right there. I'd like love to see that matchup like that.
The double patty slap. So real quick, let's also do real quick around the horn. Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. I think Britt Baker is going to win that one, assuming she's still healthy. George, real quick, Baker or Statlander?
Baker, 100%. I do not think Statlander is ready for it. I think Baker should be in the top spot.
And Josh Alonso?
I got to agree, Baker.
And Anissa?
Baker, I think Statlander needs to get rid of that gimmick and start something new. Maybe she'll win.
Cool. Well, I absolutely agree. We have some quick, real quick thoughts. We're running out of time because I'm a chatty Cathy and never want to stop talking. MJF beat Marco Stump, but he's got a match against Jungle Boy. Let's start again around the horn. George, MJF or Jungle Boy?
MJF all the way. There's no way you can stop that momentum.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed. Josh, Anissa?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to choose MJF.
Unfortunately?
Yeah, MJF's going to the title. He's not slowing down. And then Sean Spears randomly challenged Dustin Rhodes, who apparently retired but is coming back. I think Sean Spears is winning this one. Any disagreements?
No, this is going to be putting down the old Yeller moment right there, but it's going to be the saddest moment, but it's got to happen. Spears all the way.
Yeah, I agree. So we're running low on time, so this is where we get to the last segment of the show. It is what we call the Elite of the Week, and this week it is brought to you by SmartButton, smartbutton.com. When you need a crowd to help you out, get SmartButton today. Visit smartbutton.com and buy yours. Tell them Jack Farmer sent you. But the Elite of the Week starts at number 5. We're going to go with Chris Statlander. She lost, but she was in the ring for such a long time, and she helped Sheeta in getting the beaten up at the end there. So Chris Statlander, you get up there. Nyla Rose, you beat your challenger right before the Double or Nothing show, so you get number 4. At number 3, we got MJF. No one's beaten this guy, and he's taken out all of Jungle Express. At number 2, we got Jon Moxley, because he's cutting promos, he's beating people in matches, and he's the champion, so he should be number 2. And at number 1, folks, It's mystery competitor. Everyone in the casino ladder match got beat up tonight, but mystery competitor was smart, stayed under the radar, and didn't get hurt right before. And that's why mystery competitor, you're number one on the Elite of the Week this week. That's it. That's the Elite of the Week, folks. I think it was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any guesses who might be the mystery opponent, though? I'm actually kind of curious.
The Invisible Man.
Drew Gulak.
Interesting. He is available. I don't have any idea who.
So is Matt, aka Zack Ryder. He's available.
No, he's not available.
No,
he's got the 90 days.
That's yeah. They still got a little bit of time to go with that. So,
which is weird because those are completely unenforceable. I don't know why wrestlers listen to those.
Because they're still getting paid.
Oh, well, in that case, I would listen to it too.
I would like to see Rockstar Spud, but we don't know that situation. So,
yeah. So I would like it to be Sting, and I'd like him to win. It's not going to be Sting, but woo! So that's all the time we have. But before we go, Anissa, can you let everyone know where they can find you online?
Yes, on Instagram and Twitter at Anissa Barr with 3 R's at the end.
And Josh Alonso.
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at JOAL323.
And George Hermosa.
You can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZA with 1 A at the end.
And Ryan in the booth.
At RYNILSEN on Twitter, at RyanNilsen_ on Instagram. Where can they find you, Jack Farmer?
You can find me at all sorts of places, starting at jackcfarmer.com, at realjackfarmer across all social media. You can check me out on the WWE Raw After Show every Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can also check out an article I just posted on AfterBuzz. It's about the 7 different types of wrestling fans. Google it, check it out, and tell me which fan are you? What kind of wrestling fan are you? You got to read it to know what I'm talking about, though. So look that up. Also, check me and Flobo out every Thursday for Jack and Flobo Wrestle With Your Questions at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And until next time, folks, do your best and be yourself.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.